We're going to use that song as our lesson this evening. And the reason being is that it comes from the 19th Psalm, verses 7 through 10. We'll add verse 11 at the close of the lesson. We are to sing praises unto God, and we sing them through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's not about things of the world. It's not about self-glory. It's not about entertainment. But those psalms, they contain both hymns and spiritual songs. And they're recorded for us. The word psalm means song. Songs that were written mainly by David. And they record for us some things that are very pertinent in connection with our relationship with the Lord. I use the King James Version this evening because that's the wording of the song that we just got through reading. And I will tell you that sometimes I recognize that the King James Version has readings that we're not familiar with because of the Middle English that is used. But also, it is far and above, I believe, the most poetic and beautiful in many cases of all the versions that are out there, and especially whenever you look at the Psalms. And so we'll use that. David is extolling, of course, God and His Word in this particular psalm. He talks about the Word of God extensively, of course, in the 119th Psalm, all 176 verses. In a sense, it's a condensed aspect of what is presented there in the 119th Psalm by what he has written here for us in the 19th Psalm, verse 7 through 10. Now, I want us to consider these things. First of all, as we look to the statement that is made in verse 7, in the first verse, as we have it, of the psalm, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." We've been engaged in a study where we have been talking about grace. And we have come to an understanding that we cannot work for our salvation. Law keeping is not the means of our salvation. But I will also remind each and every one of us, we wouldn't know about the grace of God except by God's law, what is written to us. And so in connection with that, we see the words that are here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the reason being, as we look over in 2 Peter verse 1, verse 3. "According as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you," or ye, "may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. To turn one from following after desires of the flesh and after the nature of man, a learned nature that is in connection with desires of the flesh, to a divine nature that we're not born with, but is a change of mind resulting in a change of action. The law of the Lord is perfect in doing this. And just as Peter says here in this particular verse, verse 3, "As His divine power is given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness," and that is through the knowledge that has been given to us by the law of God. We think about this also as we go to Romans 1st chapter verse 16. We would not become Christians except by the preaching of the gospel. And there's aspects of the law of God contained within this. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as the power of God unto salvation. To all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," the believe there, of course, encapsulates the thought of obedience. And it certainly is contained within verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That is, from faith that God has given to us, that is, by His Word, in order to have faith in our lives so that we would follow that and we would act upon it, that which is God-given but is seen and applied in our lives. We see in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter verse 1 and 2, after becoming Christians, and I know that this version doesn't exactly say what we're wanting. I will change over to the SV here in just a moment. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are saved. And when we look in the ESV there in verse 2, by which you are being saved. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In connection with, it directs us in this life, this walk as a child of God. If we hold fast the word, as Paul says, I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. We think about this also from 2 Corinthians 11 chapter and verse 3. Oh, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter and verse 3. One moment. Where Paul makes this statement. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray by sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Let me go ahead and use the King James back in this because we'll refer back to the 19th Psalm. Here, Paul talks about the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You think about some of the nuances, and even more than that, complexities of men's religions today. That is not what is put forth by God through His Word. It's simple. And so that's the reason, of course, that as we see in the 19th Psalm, and there in verse 7 beginning, that David made the statement, the testimony of the sure of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We understand that we're not under law as far as attaining salvation, that is, gaining salvation, working for salvation, but we are still under law to God. And I'll suggest to you that just as Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment, we looked at that this morning in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. It doesn't matter which law you're speaking of, that is true. And we are under law to Christ. Paul says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and unto the Jews I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under law, as under law, they might gain those that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. And then he hurriedly puts in there, in parentheses, at least in the King James, being not without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. He's talking there about Jew and Gentile. And that we are all under law. But the quality of this law is explained by Paul also when we look at Romans 8 chapter, verses 1 through 3. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. And we're either followers of one law or the other that is described there in verse 2. Either the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the law of sin and death. He goes on and says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, Jesus showed forth by obedience to His Father that we can overcome sin. We can do that, and that is by His grace and by the law that has been given to us, by everything that David is speaking of in the 19th Psalm. We go back to that 19th Psalm, and we notice what is stated then in verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We think about this thought in connection with the statutes of the Lord are right. And in the 119th Psalm, verse 128, David says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. And that right is really from the thought and concept that God does not lead us astray to make us stumble and fall, but to make us right by obedience to Him so that we can stand then before Him at the end of time and be blessed by Him. And that's what David is saying here. Concerning all things to be right. And everything that is not right is a false way. Think about this also from Proverbs, the 30th chapter and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. It is by God's law, the writing of the law that is given to us, we understand that we have armor from God, Ephesians 6 chapter, verses 10 and following. And that where we can withstand the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts that he casts toward us, having a helmet, having a shield, having a breastplate, having our feet shod, all of that in connection with how we do that and given to us by God's will, His law, His word that we have today. We go back to the 19th Psalm. And in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We think about this, at least I do, from the first chapter of James in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We talked this morning about the faithfulness of Christ. The same thing is true with God, the faithfulness of God. He gives us a direction that we follow. He gives us concepts that we learn and we put into our heart that helps us then to do His will. And then there's not a change. There's no amendments that are made. God's law is once delivered to all. And in that then, that is that good and perfect gift that is from above. And we think about this also in the 21st verse of this same chapter, James 1 and verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. We think about what David said back in the 19th Psalm there, and in verse 9. And he's making this point, the fear of the Lord is clean. It's not impure. It's not filth. But it is clean, enduring forever. And that thought comes about for us, of course, in the 55th chapter of Isaiah in verse 11. The words that I speak will not return unto me void. They will accomplish what I have sent them forth to do. That is the will of God for man. And then he says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Not teaching that which is evil, but that which is right in the sight of God. We come down then to verse 9. Verse 10 rather. And this is the chorus of the song that we just sang. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It's when we go back to Proverbs, the second chapter, verse 1 through 8, it speaks directly of that. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Here is, from the standpoint of God's will given, God's wisdom given, we see Solomon now writing about this. And he says, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And what he means by that is take them in. Make application in your life. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You see, God's word. God's word, which is so precious, so rich, greater than all riches, is wisdom that is given to us from above. And there's not a greater understanding and knowledge or wisdom that comes than rather by God Himself. And apply thine heart to the understanding, wanting to learn more and more. That's the reason that Paul had told Timothy, study, do diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, but handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. And he says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. You remember in Hosea the 4th chapter and verse 6 that God instructs Hosea to write and to say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The attitude that is to be in the life of a child of God, you cry after knowledge. I want more of your knowledge, more of your understanding that comes from your word. And lift up thy voice for understanding, that is that crying out. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, if you will look at God's word and understand that it is far above all riches, he says, then And I will add a thought to this, then and only then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If God's Word is just for somebody else to read and to study and to understand and to take in their heart, and that's the way that we view it, it's no treasure to us. But if it is that treasure to us, then and only then will we have the understanding of the respect of the Lord that we should, and also find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler that is a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of His saints. We are kept by God's Word, and that's what Peter says in his letter. We think about this also. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We go back again to the 119th Psalm, verse 1-3. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. There are no words of greater delight, no greater words of sweetness that directs our life than God's Word that is given to us through His law, through the Bible that we have today. We're going to finish up when we go back to the Psalms in the 19th Psalm with verse 11 in just a moment. But now, with this in mind, of what we've looked at, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And he says then, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Hopefully it gives us more meaning in us singing this song. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Let's sing the song one more time, and then we'll finish with verse 11. After extolling the praise of God in His Word, he makes then this statement in verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Not an earning of a reward, but a fellowship with Him through the Word, through the instruction that we have, from the commandment of God, which includes the law that we are under today, the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, to remain in fellowship with Him. We think about this, at least I do, from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 14. Now we, brethren, exhort you, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Jesus made the statement in connection with the words that he would talk and about the warning and about the instruction that is given. That in John the 12th chapter in verse 48, he says this about the words that he is speaking. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That includes a proper understanding of grace, not for working our salvation in and of ourselves. And understand, it is also includes, his words include the wonderful words of life that he speaks through his law, through the Bible that we have. And that by these words, at the end of time, we will all be judged. Let me just ask each and every one of us this afternoon. Do we hold in high esteem God's law for us today, his words for us today? Had we rather go off of what we think is right, what feels good, what is most popular, what is entertaining, or God's word that gives us this direction by which we're going to be judged? The fear of the Lord is right. That is that respect with an understanding that we have a righteous judge that will judge us in the last day. He either judges based from a standpoint of mercy, if we do His will, or justice, if we reject Him. Can we sing this song by our attitude, understanding, and action as children of God, and do it as is presented by the psalmist here? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.